Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing Joshua Adams, co-producer of Cosplayer Nation, and I do believe I have him on the line. Okay, Josh, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
Good. Good. Well, your film is all about cosplay. Why don't you tell us what cosplay is for those that are listening that don't know?
Well, cosplay is actually costume play. It's a shortened version of the word because the man who, a Japanese magazine writer that wrote for a sci-fi magazine, could not write costume play in Japanese. So he shortened it from costume play to cosplay. And it was back in the 80s. Well, costume play is an American concept. A lot of people don't realize that it's actually an American concept. It dates back to the mid-30s or 20s. I don't really remember because it's been so many times I've seen it, and I'm just
1939,
yeah. It's just so fascinating subject that it really needed a documentary to show off the history as well as the culture into itself. And that's where Cosplayer Nation got started.
Now, when did you get into cosplay?
Well, I'm not much of a cosplayer myself.
You seem to go to a lot of cons.
I've gone to a lot of cons. I thought it was, like I said, a fascinating subject. And a lot of people don't realize that even in Halloween, when everybody dresses up, that's considered cosplay itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever dressed up as a cowboy or a doctor, or even a nurse, well, that's considered cosplay.
Mm-hmm. But it goes a lot deeper than that because, like you said, there's a whole culture around it, and I think that's where it gets really fascinating.
Yeah, it's a fascinating culture. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people that are in the culture support themselves. And I mean, there's also a dark side into the culture, just like every culture out there. There's always the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to show a documentary where we talk about all those parts and keep it very neutral, but keep it positive so that people can learn more about what cosplay is and where it's going, where we think it's going, actually.
So is that why you decided to do the film? Had you seen other films and decided you could do it better, or why did you decide to make the film?
Well, at the time, I saw some mockumentaries joking about cosplay and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The mockumentaries that I saw were professionally done, but they were talking about fictional characters that were they created. I also watched Comic Book Confidentiality and those types of documentaries, and what I was thinking in my head, I've not seen a documentary all about cosplay yet.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's several out there.
And you have a whole team around you that helped create this film. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we had some people that helped us out in other conventions that we couldn't go to. Some conventions like some in the Midwest and some other around the areas that, where Ook was at a convention and somebody else was at a convention. Ook did a lot of work. He's my partner, of course. He did a lot of work. He did a lot of the editing. He put the whole thing together. And he filmed almost every single weekend he was at a convention. And then if he couldn't go to the convention, then I couldn't go to the convention, we had some volunteer staff to help us out at that convention to get some more input to to get more footage for the documentary itself. What people don't realize is that even though it's 90 minutes long, it's about 5 terabytes of footage.
Wow.
All high definition, 5 terabytes.
Wow.
That's a lot of footage for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it took 3 years of filming?
3 years of filming.
Wow. How long did it take to edit all of that?
Well, we've been editing since day one.
Mm-hmm.
I had a notion of putting our stuff on YouTube so that people could have a better understanding of where we're going. So some of the stuff that's on YouTube, some of that stuff's actually in the documentary. But it's blended in a way so that you get a whole aspect of what cosplay is. And basically, mm-hmm. we ask a question, and we try to answer that question to the best of our knowledge, and that is, what is cosplay?
Mm-hmm. It seems like you did a lot of research also. How did you get some of your information?
Well, mostly the Internet. The Internet is a very good thing, because me and my partner didn't know that dated back to 1939. I thought it was like the 50s. I thought it was started in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But I found
yeah.
this obscure article that a person wrote for his thesis, and put it up on the Internet, all about the history of cosplay.
Wow.
And I was just blown away that it started that far back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's even farther back then. I mean, it goes back all the way down to the Renaissance and that sort of stuff. But
yeah.
those were parties. This is now talking about conventions and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you touch on the aspects of history and how it was during Shakespeare's time and how it's used today, even in Mardi Gras, how people dress up in different cultures. I especially
yes.
liked when the lady was talking about how people dress up for sports games and how that's kind of the same thing as cosplay. I thought that was really interesting.
Yes, that's Ashley Eckstein. She does the voice of Soka for Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Okay. I noticed you have a lot of TV footage, too, and how did you get that?
Well, it's quite simple. You can find mostly anything, like I said, on the Internet. We made sure to how many minutes we could have shown of footage, because we are a documentary. We have to abide by the laws. So we did research into the DMCA, which is the Safe Harbor Provision, which is the Millennium Digital Copyright Act. It states that you can only use X amount of footage from different locations, as well as give where you got the footage in credit in the documentary. So
uh-huh.
all the footage that you see from the television shows and all that sort of stuff is actually in the credits.
Okay.
Where we got it. So,
and who did your narration in the beginning? Especially, you hear mostly in the beginning.
His name is Pat. I'm
Pat?
Terrible with last names. His name is Pat. He's actually
okay.
He's actually one of what?
Probably in the credits, right?
Yes, it's in the credits. he's one of the supporters of Cosplayer Nation. So we wanted a person with a baritone voice to do it, because I don't think my voice, which is kind of high and squeaky, would sound oh so good as the narrator.
Funny.
But
you also have some great music. Did you get that also off the Internet, or how did you get your music?
Well, we asked around. We listened to we listened to bands. We listened to musicians. All of our music, except for one to two pieces, are done by bands and artisans and that sort of stuff. We asked them, and they agreed to let us use their music. Soundhammer, which you've heard, they let us use their music as we seemed fit to for the documentary. But all that artist, all the music and that sort of stuff, except for two songs, are all done by independent musicians who loved what we were doing and were willing to give up their time as well as their songs to the documentary.
Mm-hmm. How many different cons have you been to? What are the ones that you go to all the time?
Well, I'm just heading up to a convention right now called Boston Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
The conventions that I've gone to, Boston Comic Con, I'm usually in the neighborhood of New England.
Uh-huh.
New England is my, like I said, New England's my home, so it's easier for me to travel short distances than long distances to these conventions, because every convention that we go to, it's great. We love going to conventions, but it's, after a while, how can I put it this way? I'm not trying to be, vicious or anything. It's just, it's always fun to go to conventions, but after a while, going to several conventions, gets old quickly.
We wear out. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I try to stay as local as possible to conventions.
New England having a lot of conventions, but I guess, like anybody could have a cosplay convention, convention that has cosplay as a part of it.
Yeah. I'm actually helping out a startup convention as we speak called AlternaCon. And it's an alternative comic book, web comic book, very avant-garde convention, so that people who feel disenfranchised with San Diego or New York or that sort of stuff can feel comfortable going to a convention where, the alternative media is actually present.
Mm-hmm. Where is that one going to be?
The Midtown Hotel in downtown Boston.
Okay, when are you doing that? Is it already set, a date set, or?
Yes, the dates are already set. It's not on the tip of my tongue. It's not on the top of my head. It's in October or November of this year.
Okay, how do people find out? Is there a website for that?
There is. They have a Tumblr account called AlternaCon. You could probably Google it, and mm-hmm. you'll find it. So,
okay. Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
There are just so many cons out there. I mean, I did research a while ago, and this is about 2 years ago, and there was 360 something conventions going on
Wow.
in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are there any cons that you haven't been to that you would really like to go to?
Well,
like
I'm going to one. Yeah, I'm going to one right now, Dragon Con.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been to that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard very good things about Dragon Con. I just haven't gone to Dragon Con yet. I've been to, quote unquote, Nerdvana, which is San Diego Comic Con. I've been to New York Comic Con. I've been to Otakon. I've been to Katsukon. I've been to one in Tulsa, which was MTAC? Yeah. No, MTAC was in Nashville, Tokyo and Tulsa. Mm-hmm. I've been to AAC, which is another anime convention in Manchester, New Hampshire. I've been to KonamiCon. I've been to... haven't been up... it's been so many conventions. My mind is... Yeah.
You also touch on the furry community, which is always funny. You know, a lot of people don't know about furries. I happen to know about them, but tell us a little bit about that. Have you been to a furry convention before?
No, I have not. But I know about furries, but because one thing, they always come to conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And me, my partner, were... My partner was kind of, like, iffy about when he put that part from CSI in.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, well, it's CBS and da-da-da. I'm like, it's short enough. We can get short enough. CBS won't mind. And it's funny because that's what the media thinks about furries.
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny. For those that don't know, you want to tell them what being a furry means?
A furry is a person who dresses up as their animal. They feel that, you know, they love dressing up. They want to dress up in a character that they feel comfortable in. And that costume is a furry. It's basically an animal that they feel that they really want to dress up as. It could be Mickey Mouse. It could be their own original character.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's all about. That's what I feel that it's all about. Because you can't just be afraid to, you know, you can't be afraid.
Yeah.
You can be nervous. You can be nervous, but, you know, sometimes you got to plunge into the deep end.
Mm-hmm. And talk about self-expression, really.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. It's all about self-expression. And, I mean, if you feel like dressing up as a Pokemon character or a Pokemon or a wolf or... anything like that, go right ahead. I mean, this is the United States. There is no law stating that you cannot dress up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I always think of cosplay as like Japanese anime, but being that it's just costume play, it does include Batman and all the comic books characters as well.
Yes, it always does. And a lot of people just don't realize that. I mean, we've talked to some people about that, and some people have gone, well, that's just cosplay, it's just anime. I'm a costume player. And the jokingly aside, cosplay is just a word. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all it is just a word. And
it was really interesting to hear about how people made their costumes, and you go in depth about how to use materials like latex. Did you learn anything that you didn't know as you were making this documentary?
Yeah, I didn't know that there is a very popularity in latex. I mean, I've never seen that many latex costumes. And then when you do an interview, that eye that you thought, you know, you didn't pay attention to, or you didn't see, and you just walk past and go, oh my God, that's made out of latex, or, oh my God, I didn't know that, you know, this was done with this and that was done with that. And it's quite interesting how people think that regular cloth can't be transformed into an elaborate costume like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, it's with latex, it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Making a latex costume is a very, very, very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Have you ever... go ahead.
Oh. I knew about sewing, but I just did not know that, you know, a person could also make a costume out of paper that elaborate, too.
Yeah,
so I do apologize for interrupting, but your
That's
question?
Okay. Now, you said that you usually don't dress up, but have you dressed up in the past, and what types of characters have you dressed up as?
Well, I've done my version of the dude.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know who the dude is, the Big Lebowski.
Right. That's it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I dressed up as a kid when I was younger for Halloween, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing the kid thing of, like, dressing up, doing trick-or-treating. My father used to make my costumes, and I just, you know, over time, just like everybody else, you grow out of it. And I went to my first anime convention in 01 and saw all these people dressing up, and I thought, you know what, maybe one day, maybe someday, I'll dress up as a character. So I decided to do my interpretation of the dude. I grew my hair out long. I bought a pair of flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt and tried to pass off as the dude.
Yeah, a lot of people might say, oh, this cosplay is for kids, but you get people of all ages doing this.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I mean... For some people, cosplay like that has never left. And it's a good way of giving their artistic side an expression to show that they can do whatever they can with whatever they got to show off costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean... You can be 6, you can be 46, you can even be 96 and still be dressing up and still have mm-hmm. that childish passion that never left. And when you grow up, the norm is you get rid of childish things and you become an adult. But
mm-hmm.
Who says you got to get rid of the child inside of you?
Right. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
And you had a chance to interview a lot of people at the convention, too. Did you set that up ahead of time, or how did you get some of those interviews?
Well, we set them up ahead of time. I know we set up. The guy that coined the phrase cosplay, we set that up. Vic Mignogna, we set up. Most of the professional actors or voice actors or stars, we set them up in advance. Some of them were set up. Other ones, we just said, excuse me, we love your costume. Do you want to do an interview? We're doing a documentary all about cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a little bit of column A and it's a little bit of column B. So,
yeah, I mean, you talked to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Great. Did you have to edit. It sounds like you had to cut a lot of it out because you said you had 5 terabytes, so you must have cut a ton of it out. How difficult was that, deciding what to keep in and what to take out?
Well, it was a trial and error. What you see right now, the documentary, is like the 20th rendition of the documentary itself. Basically, we'd show it around, ask people what they thought of it, and we would tinker with it and that sort of stuff. I know that Ooks, I let Ook go absolutely crazy because he's one hell of a good editor.
Mm-hmm.
He did all that editing work himself.
Yeah,
and
great editing.
I trusted his judgment all the way.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff where he was like a little bit nervous, but I said, no, keep it in because it'll work out ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
So other stuff, so basically with a documentary like that, it's like trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, more. Go ahead.
So it's, like I said, trial and error. And as many times as people go, well, a documentary, you got to, you know, sit down and storyboard it out. Well, that is true. But you really can't storyboard stuff that's organic. And that's the hard part about... Yeah. That's the hard part about organic media like that. You don't know where it's going to go until you snip it and push it and turn it on its head and try to get those puzzle pieces to fit.
Yeah. And you cover a lot of aspects, including, like you said, the dark side and people that get made fun of for their costumes. You know, there's a whole community. I know people that are cosplayers who talk about how they were slammed on the internet for something they did or wore. Talk a little bit about that and how people have overcome that.
Well, it's hard. We've also been slammed as well for a while because we were doing a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some stuff where a woman was talking about, she, I can't remember her name, but she's a magazine writer, and she says in the documentary, it's hard because some people they have an idea of what their idea character is.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't scope the fact that a person's dressing up as the character they've cherished all their childhood, and they can't wrap their heads around it.
Uh-huh.
So they
because
go
they're
to
different
the
race,
media.
Or they don't fit the character exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So they go on the media, they go on the internet, and they rip about that certain individual. And it's also, like I said, cosplayers themselves a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Because there are aspects where you couldn't make the costume or you didn't get the right fabric. And in a way, it's high school drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I just mean, you got to look past that. You got to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take the slings and arrows of your enemies and turn it into positivity.
Yeah.
So that you yourself can say, I can overcome it, and I feel happy for what I do, and I don't care what other people say about what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. I love, I have the passion, I have the drive and all that. And you really kind of feel that passion. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but in a way, all said and done,
yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just sometimes it's like, ugh. But it's a bitter pill that we all have to swallow. But we all have to overcome it, and we've got to realize they don't know me. They don't know who I am. They don't know what I've done. They don't know me.
Yeah. Right.
And if they do know me, then they're just either doing this in spite or grudgery or that sort of stuff. But I love what I'm doing, and that's who I am.
If you were to do this film over again, would you do something differently?
Not necessarily the least. The documentary itself, I mean, for the documentary, not really.
Yeah.
This is
why
I would have.
Well, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Business-wise, you know, we've tripped, we've fallen. Other than that, nothing. I wouldn't change a thing, a footage of that documentary.
I know it was shown, of course, at the Super Geek Film Festival. Where else has it been shown? Has it shown anywhere else yet?
Yes, it's been all the conventions we've gone to. We've shown the footage.
It must be in the wind right now because that's getting a little staticky.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm walking outside, so.
Okay, try to stay in one spot.
Yeah.
That's better. Maybe. So it's been shown at all the conventions that you've been at. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, we started showing it in 2012. We started showing small bits of it in 2012. We showed different versions of it at different conventions so that other people would have an understanding of where we're coming from and what we're doing.
So where is it being shown next?
Well, it's going to be shown at DragonCon.
Okay. And when is DragonCon?
It's the last weekend in August. Labor Day weekend.
And where
in
is
Atlanta,
it at?
Georgia.
Atlanta. Okay.
Atlanta, Georgia.
I knew that. I knew that. Okay. And now, do you have a website where people can go and find out more about it, or how do they find out when it's showing after that?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook. Photographs and everything else that we do is mostly on Facebook at the moment. We are working on a website, but we haven't had the time to tweak the website. So the website's in the works. It's just we cared more about the film than putting up a website.
Right. So they can just put in Cosplayer Nation on Facebook and they'll find you, right?
Yep, and Google and that sort of stuff. I mean, if you want to see all of our footage, we always try to update our YouTube account. So all the footage that you'll see is from past conventions that we've gone to.
Okay. Great. Are you going to be putting the whole film online for the public at some point?
That's a discussion I will be thinking about doing. It's
eventually
not going to be mostly put online because we feel that it could be construed differently, and that's that's the way it is. But also, YouTube itself is kind of
like anal with what they have.
And it's 90 minutes long, so downloading something to YouTube 90 minutes will take 20 hours to do.
Right. Or just opening up your Vimeo to the public or something. Eventually.
Yeah. We will be doing a premiere and that sort of stuff. We're doing that in the works. We will have it up for sale as a digital download and as a DVD. All the money that's processing from the documentary is help paying for Project Next and help paying for some of the cost. Help paying for some of the cost of the documentary. Not a lot of people realize that a documentary like this costs a good chunk of change, and it cost about $30,000 to make.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're running out of time right now, but I guess I can bring you back when you do your next project. bring you back again. Yeah, thanks for coming on the show today.
You're very welcome.
And I will talk to you soon.
Great. I'm glad to be on your show, and you have a good day, and take it easy.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Bye.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Well, that went by fast. That was a great conversation with Joshua Adams about Cosplayer Nation. And I have to tell you, I go to a lot of conventions myself. I see the cosplayers in action. I know a little bit about it, probably more than the average person. But I learned even more watching this movie. And I was so entertained by watching this. And they went out to all these conventions and interviewed all these people about what they're wearing and why they do this. And then what was put in that was even more fascinating was the history behind it and the interviews with different people who have written books about the idea, et cetera. The guy who started it that did a comic book about it. And the history and how it has been done throughout culture, I thought it was fascinating. To really get into this community. And then the dark side, as he mentioned, because I do know cosplayers who have gone through that have been ridiculed, et cetera, and hearing how deep that goes in the culture was interesting. I think this film is very fascinating to watch, and, in fact, I already want to watch it again. That's how much I liked it. It's just a fun watch. It's really fun to watch. It's not dark in any way. It's very intriguing, especially when they talk about how they make the costumes. And there's a lot to it. It's 90 minutes, so it may be a little on the long side for those that have attention deficit disorder. But the good thing about if you are watching it at a convention, you can, see it and then come back and see it again if there's more than one showing. But like you said, it's showing at Dragon Con coming up. So if you are there in Atlanta, you may want to check it out and see it. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be back next week with someone new. So you want to come listen to the show again next Sunday. And as always, please like my Facebook. Go to www.facebook.com/IndieStreak, just like the show. Please like the page. I have information about all kinds of different film events, et cetera, on there. And if there's any time that I'm not having a show, I try to announce it on there so people will know. Also, my latest Independent Streak magazine is out for the August issue. It is out. You can go to independentstreakmagazine.com, Independent Streak, STREAK, magazine.com. And that magazine, for those that don't know, is all about the film industry. It is focused in Florida, but I do have stuff about Atlanta. I have stuff about Los Angeles. I often have things in there about New York, et cetera. Really all over the world that I interview directors and have event spotlights. This issue I have an interview with my good friend Diane Christensen, who is a top acting coach in Los Angeles. I have a big piece on her. Also, my friend Michael Lofsinger, who is a director himself and is now working in as part of the Film Commission in Atlanta. I have Robert Adanto, who does beautiful films, combining or looking at the combination of culture and art and how art reflects culture. I have something about Living.com, which was a big hit in Los Angeles and has gotten a lot of buzz. I've got all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to remember everything that's in the magazine. But you'll have to check it out for yourself at IndependentStreakMagazine.com. And like I said, come back next week, and I will have someone new on the program. Thank you for tuning in today. And go to Cosplayer Nation on Facebook and like their page and like my page, and I will talk to you next week. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.